Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Roll, beat, beat.
Roll, beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome to it, Wednesday edition, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, he is in. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Henning wearing a Celtics jersey for some reason. Not just any Celtics jersey. Busy show, bombshell news, Bob Stoops, sayonara. Enjoy boating and fishing and Crown and Bud Light and all that good stuff, Coach. You've earned it. You deserve it. Bob Stoops retiring. We'll spend some time on that. NBA Finals. Thoughts from a Husker Hall of Famer, Eric Strickland, coming up. Mike Shewhart. Shuey will be in Wilderness Ridge Golf. And then our favorite pirate, Mike Leach. Head coach at Washington State, coached under Bob Stoops, not only recruited and coached Lincoln Riley, but also gave Lincoln Riley his first full-time coaching job. So the Pirate, Mike Leach, with us in 1 hour. You're welcome to Tap the Line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Your chance to win that smoker for Father's Day on Friday. Get qualified for the Smokin' Hot Dad promotion, a Southern County stainless steel electric smoker, and the Leon's Gourmet Grocer $250 gift card and gift basket from Leon's that has spices and rubs and wood chips and wood planks and a steak certificate. That cue to call this hour and next hour. Jay Moore, you are ineligible for the gift basket and the steaks from Leon's.
Really?
You are.
It's crap.
Jay's going to step out in the hallway and start
Leon's.
Banging the phone.
They don't live too far away.
No, I know.
It's frequent that place.
It is
killer
tremendous.
Steaks.
It is, yeah. So good luck to y'all for qualifying. Salt Dog tickets today?
Salt Dog tickets for Thursday and Friday, and World of Outlaw tickets as well.
Okay, so it's bribery week continues. I can't wait to talk to the Pirate, Mike Leach. It's always fun to talk to Mr. Leach, so we'll talk with Coach in an hour. We will maybe hear from Barry Switzer in 5 minutes or so. We will see. We're waiting on the King to get back to us on this. But Jay, I have a thought on Bob Stoops, his retirement. I don't think there's a gunman lurking in the grassy knoll. I don't think this is conspiracy. I think this is a guy who's broaching 60 in a just pressure cooker job, first of all. Mm-hmm. The expectations were made by Switzer. He revived this program, got him a championship, and what he's been doing in some instances, he had to clean house with his coaching staff 3 years ago, weren't good enough. Finishing seventh or eighth in the country and going 11-2, not good enough. Oklahoma was in national championship games galore in his first decade there. 18 years, his first 7-10, they were playing for championships. They got beat by LSU. They got beat by Florida. They beat Florida State. And now he's stepping back. He's got his young pup, Lincoln Riley, that will take over. Great transition point, he believes. He's just been spend time with his family. I believe that. This isn't like, Bob, you're old, you're tired. I think he's tired of the crap that is going on in college football for coaches, which is dancing constantly for recruits and having to recruit year-round. Why not? He's made $5 million a year the last X number of years. Buy a boat. Get a snowmobile. Get a cabin next to Leach down in Florida and just enjoy your time with family and spend some money. And if you want to get back into it, the NFL can call you in a couple years or a year. Mm-hmm. But just do your thing. The last fact is his father died on his way to the hospital after suffering a heart attack as a coach. That's been in his mind. It's been on his mind, I am told, for quite a while. So, yeah, enjoy yourself Job well done, Bob Stoops. Lincoln Riley, you're supposed to be the next big thing. We will see if you are the next big thing.
Yeah, it was pretty surprising. I was in at work and kind of get some stuff done and saw that we have ESPN on and see the bottom scroll, and it's just, you know, you catch that breaking news. I'm like, what? Did that just say Bob Stoops is retiring? You're like, wait, you're kind of waiting for it to scroll back through, and it's like, is it, you know, after this upcoming year? Is it, you know, now? Is it effective immediately? And it's, you know, you read into it more, it's like, holy smokes. I mean, what's going on? You know, I mean, this doesn't just happen. I mean, we just had kind of a similar situation at Ohio State with Admata. Mm-hmm. You know, things are always working underground and trying to figure out, you know, what exactly the thought process is. And this is, it's just perfectly simple. I think there's a little bit of everything. You brought up his dad passing away at the age of 54 of health issues and things like that. And I think, and he said that health, not an issue. I fully believe that. But there's something about being fortunate enough to leave on your own terms.
Very few
can do that. That was always the talk when you're in the NFL is playing long enough and being respected long enough that, you know what, you can be done and you're still wanted. That's a very fortunate thing some people are able to do. And Bob Stoops is perfectly in this situation. He's been one of the highest paid football coaches for the longest time. He's resurrected Oklahoma football after what John Blake, you know, what he took over, what Coach Blake had done down there. And he's top five, you know, arguably one of the top five best coaches in the nation right now. Mm-hmm. And he's able to say, you know what, I got my money, I got my health, I'm happy.
And my family.
I got my family. I've won a lot of Big 12 championships, I think 11 to be exact.
Yeah.
You'd like to win a few more national championships, but I don't know if I have anything left to prove. And I think over time, I mean, coaching football, obviously, at the level he's done it, there has to be a passion. And maybe that's just waned a little bit. You know, it's just fallen off a little bit. You know, it's just other things are on his mind. And that's totally fine. That's the pleasure of being in the situation he's in. You know what? I'm good. I'm done. We have a great man behind me in Lincoln Riley that I will do a hell of a job, a seamless transition. And let's get him going. Let's get him rocking and rolling and to take over this program. And I'm gonna ride off in the sunset. I'm gonna go hang out in my two houses that he has in Chicago and step away from football for a little bit and enjoy life, because football has taken over, has consumed his life since he's got done playing at Iowa under Hayden Fry. So good for him. Good for him to be able to step away from this game under his own terms and not under an AD or a general manager or anything like that.
Think about Bob Stoops, too, and this is name-dropping scumbagism, so forgive me, but Bob Stoops came into the league, and I was still in college, and Oklahoma had been kind of a tire fire. They'd been a tire fire. Really, they weren't what they were under Switzer, and we'll see if we can't get coached next hour, as he's tied up right now. They'd been just a nightmare post-Switzer, and then when Gibbs left, and then they went Snellenberger, and then they went Blake. And Stoops came in, and quickly, yes, he'd be the first to tell you Blake left him a ton of talent, mm-hmm. but they quickly got to where they were at. And I will always remember Stoops being a rookie coach in the Big 12, and there's two little snot-nosed college kids, myself, Mark Kranak, were there for Big 12 media days in Kansas City. And it's late. It's 10:30. And who's handing out Bud Lights? It's Bob Stoops. And this is when they had the old Bud Light bottles with the silver and red. Mm-hmm. Jay's like, oh, yeah. But no, he was just, the one time I got to sit down with him was great. Just kind of yucking it up. And he was excited about their future. And lo and behold, in 2000, I was down at the Oklahoma game when it was 1-2 again, the way it's supposed to be between Nebraska and Oklahoma. That day they won by quite a bit. And then I remember being here with Sue dominating in 2009, and then all the games in between. And that's the thing, Jay, is you got to go up against the three different types of Sooner teams, an injured team, a loaded team, and maybe an underachieving mm-hmm. Sooners team. And you saw them against Adrian Peterson in 04 and 05, and you played him for the Big 12 championship in 06. What stuck out to you about Stoops and specifically the teams you played that he coached?
They're just well-coached, smart, and just physical. That's the biggest thing.
They were physical, and they threw the ball.
Right. They had really, really good players. I mean, you go back to 04 when we played them at their place, and, you know, we had a snowball's chance in hell at winning that game. I mean, I think they were number one or number two in the country at that time. I mean, they had, Josh White, Heisman Trophy winner. They had Dan Cody. They had, six or seven top three NFL draft picks on that team. And I believe that in 04, that was a team that went and played. They lost to LSU in the national championship, I think. I can't remember exactly. But they're stacked. I mean, we play them there 05. Adrian's, a sophomore. He's had some injuries and beat up a little bit, but he plays. We have a chance. We were in that game. Should have won it late. Didn't. 06. 06 was probably a very down year from them. They had quarterback issues.
He's driving a car and not going to work.
Right, exactly. They bring him back Thompson, who was going to be a wideout. But that was a really good chance to win. But here's what happens when Stoops comes down to it is he gets his teams ready to win that type of ball game. You know, he can defensively. I always remember talking to Zach Taylor after that one. He goes, they disguised their coverages so well. He goes, I had no idea what they were in. I mean, Zach was a very smart football player. I'll distinctly remember that. We get back to our place that night, and he kind of thought how we played defensively, and we actually played very, very well defensively. And I'm like, what was your guys' issue? You know, because you guys were terrible.
Was this one of those car rides home? You suck tonight. No. Why?
Well, no, it was just, you always kind of rehash things. I'm like, what the hell happened
how
on that
the
side
tone?
Of the ball? You know, he's like, he goes, dude, honestly, he goes, I would pre-snap and have a pretty good idea, but they would switch it at the perfect time, and I'd drop back, and it was something completely different. And he goes, they got me.
Wow.
They 100% got me. And he's like, I was tricked. I was, I had no idea. So that's just the kind of, he got his teams ready to play. And just when you think you had your opportunities, your chances, he took it up another level. And just knowing guys that played Oklahoma for him, I mean, he was a tough coach. He demanded a lot for him. He was hard on them. Their off-season workout programs and with their strength coach was one of the, I've been through some crazy ones. Theirs maybe are even crazier. I mean, their little strength coach down there, the flat top, that's about 5 foot tall.
Napoleon?
Very, very Napoleon complex. He would even like to talk trash on the sidelines when you get over there. Very Napoleon. To a lot of guys. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I was hoping I'd get close enough to the time that I just would slow down a little late.
You'd miss the ball carrier,
right.
But smack the coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just tell him to shut up for a little bit. But no, he demanded a lot, and he got it all. He got it a lot, and he had great talent. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he could recruit with the best of them, and he just got that good talent out of the Southeast,
Texas.
Out of Texas, the good stuff out of Oklahoma. He even went to California. He was able to recruit.
Well, that's
and
the thing, so, man. Is he kicked me? I look at Roy Williams. Okay, mm-hmm. Rover, Pro Bowl guy, 8-year career, tremendous for Oklahoma, and he was a California kid. Mm-hmm. They went westward bound to go to Gold Mine, California. They also went past the Red River, and the legendary story is, we're going to win without you, but we'd like to win with you. Mm-hmm. That living room talk to Peterson.
They own Dallas. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got so much talent out of that Dallas area.
They found Bradford.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Dusty Dvorak was a good friend of mine that's, now worked for ESPN and some Oklahoma stuff, and he came out of the Dallas area. Joe John Finley, mm-hmm. which Clint Finley's brother, they're from Arlington area. So, I mean, they got good. I mean, I think Norman and Dallas is only a couple hours away, but they own that area. They beat a lot of good.
And they did it while Texas was still good.
Exactly.
With Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So the nickname Big Game Bob kind of turned into a joke a little bit over time, but just some numbers to pass along. He went 60-30 versus AP top 25 teams in his career, and he is the only coach to win the national championship plus the other four BCS bowls.
Yeah, and he did the sugar against Saban. So,
mm-hmm.
And then you got the Youngstown thing that is there, and you got his brothers, Mark, Stoops down at Kentucky that was at Florida State. And then who was the other coach at Arizona? And it was crazy.
Oh, his other brother?
Yeah.
Well, it was Mark.
Mark might be the crazy one.
I think Mark was the crazy one.
Who's the one at Kentucky then?
His first name is leaving me right now.
There was one at Arizona.
Yes, right. Yeah, no, you're right, Stoops brothers. Right.
But I look at Stoops as a guy that I don't think you can put into words going back to a blue blood and resuscitating it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredible for that to happen. Less than an hour away, Mike Leach will be with us, our favorite pirate on Hail Varsity Radio. Coming up, Eric Strickland, 10-year NBA vet, his thoughts on the Bulls versus the Warriors and Game 3 tonight. And Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf, coming up. Caller 3, caller 4 right now, a six-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Caller 3, caller 4, be part of the message board community. Get up-to-the-minute news from Vogues and Company on what's going on with satellite camps, offers galore, and recruiting analysis. Caller 3, caller 4 right now, a six-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 3, caller 4 now. Strick is next.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. NBA Finals, Game 3 tonight. Bring in our NBA insider, 10-year NBA vet, Husker Basketball Hall of Famer, pride of Bellevue West, Eric Strickland, with us at eStrick20 on Twitter. Strick, what do you know? How are you, man?
Hey, what's going on, Schmitty, man? Good to hear from you. All has been well, and a lot going on, and just enjoying the summer thus far. The weather's been great, so it's been good.
Good. So I got to ask before we get into Game 3 and LeBron and Golden State and all that, A, how's your golf game? B, are you reffing now? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, golf game has suffered a little bit this summer. Not able to get out as much. Been reffing, been on the grind. So the grind is real unique. It's just it's a different type of grind. You know, used to grind being on the court and being in the gym for hours as far as playing and getting up and down and staying in shape. And just staying in shape in a different way now. And I am refereeing and truly blessed to be able to been invited to two different camps for grassroots and mid-level for the D-League. And now going to the final camp next week, actually. And if I get through that, then I'll be hired. So, you know, it's been good.
Awesome, man. That's great to hear. Has that been weird for you? I mean, you were always pretty, how do I put this? You were very respectful of the officials in the NBA, and you were in college, but your style defensively was in someone's hip pocket. So is it different for you being on the other side of it?
Truly it is. It's a different way of viewing the game. I have a tremendous respect and understanding now for everything that the refs do endure. Some things that we think they should have got, or I understand how they can be missed. You know, understanding the different nuances of the game and how truly necessary the officials are in making sure that a game is goes smoothly and is run well and staying ahead of the game and making sure that there's no escalation in different situations. It's so much that go into it that I didn't realize until actually becoming a part of the officiating side of things.
Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NBA vet, Eric Strickland with us, Hail Varsity Radio at eStrick20. Strick, I know how close you are to T. Lou, and it was phenomenal a year ago when Cleveland raised that banner. It is a whole different animal, whole new ball game as I watch it, and I'm sure you see it. with this Golden State team, with KD on the roster. Is this series over, or is there still a window for Cleveland?
Well, definitely, their backs are against the wall. You know, I think that one of the mistakes that they've been making, I believe, is you can't get into a running match against Golden State. You'll lose every time. That's their strength. You have to. You can't allow games to get in 115 and above. If they get into 115 and above, you're probably not going to win that contest in most cases. You're probably 8 out of 10 times. So I think that's where they got themselves in trouble. First game, they didn't take advantage of some of the strengths with Tristan Thompson. He was null and void. They stayed out, didn't attack the glass. Didn't get extra shots with something that Golden State was doing. They were getting extra opportunities, and you're giving them extra opportunities at the basket. You have to minimize their opportunities, and so that's when you get into high scoring games. And then the second game, I just thought they kept trying to run with them. They didn't hit shots, and Golden State continued to do so. I knew that would be the case early on in the series. Golden State, you know, with well rested legs, they're gonna make shots. Cleveland has to extend that, and if they don't, then it's going to be early, or an early exit.
What's your thoughts on LeBron? I mean, I've been absolutely wowed by what he's done, and you don't think someone can surprise you again, but he has been so good, and it hasn't mattered, which is weird to say.
Yeah, I mean, he you know, regardless of how great he is, I mean, we can just go back in history and look at Michael Jordan. Is one of the greatest of all time, and he needs help. You know, Michael needed help. It wasn't until you had your Pippins and those guys that showed up, even when their series were tight. You know, 6-7 game series, even when those series was tight, you had a Craig Hodges, you had a Steve Kerr, you had a Tony Kukoc, you had someone stepped up and made shots, and that's what Cleveland hasn't gotten so far. They haven't had that guy step forward. Even if it's a guy that's not necessarily the guy, you know, it's not necessarily a Love or a Kyrie Irving, but they haven't had that bench play that they need. I mean, they have to be able to use and access their depth, because that's what Golden State does have. They do have a greater sense of depth this year. So that's where some of their problems have come in. And, you know, no matter how great LeBron is, you're going to wear him out. If you wear him out, you're not going to have him when it's necessary and needed. So they need some other guys to step up.
What was your thoughts on Golden State this year with the addition of KD? Did you believe this team could truly gel and mesh and really not care who's getting the points? That's how they're playing, and everyone's getting theirs. But there's such an at-peace type mentality with these guys. Did you think KD would be this big a difference maker, and are you surprised at how well they've gelled and played together with all those egos?
Not surprised. They bought in, you know. I think anytime you have an adverse foe that brings you all together, for example, you may have some differences, you may have some ups and downs, you may have some issues, you may have some, you know, ball issues where, you know, you're not getting the touches that you like, you think you deserve, or whatever. But when you have a common foe, that tends to bring you together. And I think that's the fact that they're playing Cleveland, and what happened and transpired last year has brought them together to understand that it doesn't matter. Our enemy is them, not us. And so if we stay focused on what we need to do, and sharing the ball and pushing and playing team defense and doing all of those things which are going to be needed for us to win, if we can stick to the game plan, then everything will go as it's supposed to. And I think that's how they have a no-nonsense and a non-care attitude, because they're chasing a ring, and they're chasing a championship. That common foe brings that together.
Eric Strickland, Nebraska Hall of Famer, 10-year NBA vet, Ed Eastrick 20 on Hail Varsity Radio. Strick, I got to ask you this, because it's been floating around nationally. The 96 Bulls versus this Golden State team, assuming they finish off Cleveland? Is it even a discussion, or is there some wiggle room for a debate here on who could beat who?
Well, here's the situation. If you just match them up, you know, line by line, I believe Dennis Rodman's better than Draymond Green. Draymond Green shoots the ball better. But I think because of the size, he kills them. Mm-hmm. They have no one. I love Draymond Green. I think he's great. But Dennis Rodman was a different animal. So he's not Tristan Thompson. And, you match those two up together, I think Dennis Rodman averages 25, 30 rebounds a game. You know, and probably 10, 15 of them offensive. That's just my opinion. And then you go down the line. I like, Thompson and his ability to play defense. KD, marginal. But none of them could guard Michael Jordan. None of them. Okay, you could hide Stephen. Because, you know, he's not really going to worry about Kerr, but Harper would put him down low quite often and give him what he wants down there and get what he wants down there. And I think Scottie Pippen and KD are a wash. And you go with that. Zaza Pachulia, Luke Longley, Wash. You know, okay. You know, they both do similar things. But I think when you add the other factors in and those, they can't match up. Jordan would murder any of those guys at any point in time that they put on. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
The other thing I like about Chicago, as good as Golden State's bench and role guys are, I think your nails with what Rodman would do defensively and on the glass. I also like Kukoc and Kerr to do what they want off the bench. I mean, Chicago's bench was phenomenal that second three-peat era.
They have no matchup for Kukoc.
No.
He's 6'10", can post up, and shoot the three. He's KD without the athleticism.
Right.
So who do you put on him? Okay, you put KD on him because they match up that way. But then who guards Pippen?
Nobody.
You see what I'm saying? Yep. So, I don't see it. And they play great defense.
Yep.
They're a very good defensive team. So, and then it depends. What rules do you play under? Do you play under the new rules? Or do you play under the old rules where it was a little more physical? So, you know, what you got there. Now, you play under the new rules, I still think if you play under the new rules, not being able to touch Jordan, you're really in trouble. So, you not being able to put a body, a hand, a forearm, or anything on Jordan, you're dead. That's just my personal belief on that. So, there you go.
Eric Strickland with us, Husker Hall of Famer, Hail Varsity Radio, 10-year NBA vet. The other thing about Rodman, I got about 60 seconds left here, Strick. Rodman was probably playing those finals on no sleep, correct?
Huh. Yeah, he's like a freaking Energizer Bunny. It didn't matter what kind of sleep he got. He was for never stopping. So, yeah.
Strick, a good luck to you with the D-League and refereeing, and congrats to you on your work there. And we'll catch up again soon, and thanks for taking a few minutes, bud.
All right, man. Thanks, Mitty. I appreciate it. You take care.
Hey, can one of your other men come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking! Caller 9 now. Get qualified for the Smoker and the Father's Day giveaway on Friday, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
25 minutes away, it's all Pirate Radio. Mike Leach will join us on Bob Stoops' retirement. Lincoln Riley stepping in. It is that time for some golf. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 434-5106. Get a tee time. Find out about membership benefits, membership pricing. Director of Instruction, Mike Shuhart. Shuey, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
Got to see you a couple times last week, brother. What's new?
I want to know what's new with you, man. Your golf game's got to be awesome.
It's better than not having a golf game. That's kind of where I'm at. And it's a good day today, man. I mean, Jay Moore's in. You're here. I mean, it's
got to be golf time. Here in front of me, I got Golf Digest and golf. So, man, it must be golf time.
That's what it is.
And that's why I don't know where those came from. They're not mine.
Somebody's working on his short game.
Is she your Smitty?
Well, that's assuming you think I can read. I don't know. They're just in
here. Pictures.
We're going to leave it to a mystery.
I didn't see the Golf Digest over here.
Hail Varsity and Golf Digest, okay? That's what I do. What's up with you? What have you been up to?
Man, it's golf time, man. We got camps. My camp started this week. My league started this week. It's golfing time, so it's fun. We got our first Divot Dog tournament tomorrow. Right. Quest for the belt.
So, Aaron Rodgers
defending the belt, defending baby. Champs, right?
No, we get close, man. We make it to the finals every year. We finish second and third.
Who's always number one? Is always the same course?
Yeah, Happy Hollow.
Oh.
Every year, man, they're stacked all the time.
How's the rivalry?
Because they got those it's building. Phenomenal practice.
It's building.
Is it Wisconsin, Nebraska, or Iowa, Wisconsin?
Where's it at right now?
Or Iowa, Nebraska.
It's getting close to like old day Nebraska, Oklahoma.
Okay.
It's cooking.
A lot of respect, but frustration.
Yeah.
Who's Oklahoma and who's Nebraska in that thing?
Yeah, they're a little Oklahoma on us right now. So
I love it. Also, it's getting close to U.S. Open time. And Monday was the longest day in golf, sectional qualifying. And you've been through that numerous times.
Yes, I have.
One of the hardest grinds. I mean, but you grew up playing college, you know, the college golf deal. That's playing 36 holes in one day is not that big a deal. But when it's a chance to go compete in the U.S. Open, you were fortunate enough to play in a few of them. Yeah. So kind of take us through that 36-hole sectional qualifying that is the longest day in golf.
One of the things that's hardest about it is because it's not like a normal tournament because you don't have leaderboards and stuff. So you don't really know where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
So you get out there and you get playing pretty good, you know, and you kind of think, what's the number that it's going to take? And the kind of the unknown. So you get out there and you get 6-5, 4-6, 7 under. So you think you're okay. Then you're trying to play that back nine and going, you know, it's like really. So that's one of the hardest parts, you know, is trying to just keep doing what you're doing and keep making birdies. Because, you know, but, man, you don't know if six is good, if six is bad.
Well, now you can log on your phone, but back in your time, there's no cell phones. So
it was a lot, man. When you got done, you were pretty anxious looking at that going, you know, I thought I played pretty good. And it's like, man, I don't know. And that's happened to me a bunch, man. I thought I played okay. I got done, man, I was like, oh, man, I missed by two. Other times I got done, and I'm like, I played all right, but I left some shots out there, and I didn't think, man, I was going to not make it, and I made it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's really the hardest part is the unknown of it. But, yeah, it's tough, man. It's 36 holes.
I've caddied it one time. Mm-hmm. I caddied for my good friend Brandon Crick, who's played one open and has gotten in as an alternate as well. We were just talking about him before we went on, and I caddied for him up in Chicago one time, a couple years ago when the Open was at Congressional and Rory just murdered everyone.
Yeah.
I was still in good shape because I was still playing football. But I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Because we went late. So we only had a 10-minute time in between 18. So literally we chugged a Gatorade and smashed like a candy bar and we were right back
on
the course.
And then right on the tee going, man.
So it was brutal. I mean, it was 95 in Chicago, like no wind, humidity. It was
just the physical part. I mean, the physical part of the weather and the walking and the swinging and blah, 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 blah. But then you have the mental part that goes along with it, man. That's what people don't realize is that if you compete really at a high level and you're doing what you're supposed to, when you're done, man, you're wore out because the thinking that goes on, you know, maintaining your routine and sticking with what it is and committing to what you want and thinking of the shots that you need to do and all that stuff like that and just grinding through what you need to. And it takes a toll on you mentally when you're done. So you get done with 36 holes straight. You know, not only physically are you exhausted, but you're just more mentally exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been, when I played and I'd won some tournaments out there, I mean, I know when I was done, it was like, man, that next day I was gassed out. I mean, I just didn't have any brain cells left, really. I don't have that many to begin
How'd
with.
How'd you recharge?
So it didn't take me too long. I kind of like being on the golf course. So.
Well, no, I know you like that. But just from the exhaustion part of, and I mean, the mental side that trickled down to the physical on top of doing what you were doing already, walking and the topography and all that good stuff, were you able to just kind of exhale and gear back up?
And sometimes, man, it's like you got to change your routine just a little bit to let yourself recharge. You know, you can't keep going through the grind when you're not in mentally and physically in a position to do that, because you do yourself more harm than you do good. So you got to watch yourself a little bit, you know. So like if I had a good tournament and I was in contention and I would happen to win, that next week I might gear back a little bit on the first few days. That's just recoup time. That's let yourself recoup. You know, like we talk about Tiger a lot, but, you know, when Tiger was really good, that was one of the things that was really impressive about him, is that that guy would hardly ever play more than three tournaments in a row, you know. And mainly because, one, is that he worked so hard mentally and physically to do what you need to do. So he needed that time to recoup physically, mentally, but also to get re-excited about getting back on the golf course and playing.
Truly really miss it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, in a way, because it's like, man, I love playing. I love winning, doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like you take that away for a couple weeks, you're excited to get back out there and go out there and win again. So he has an excitement, you know, level to it.
Yeah. A couple minutes left here with Mike Schuhart in the Wilderness Risk Golf segment. But next week, U.S. Open time. Starting to see some new courses. We saw Chambers Bay a couple years ago. They sprinkle in a classic in Oakmont, but now it's at Erin Hills up in Wisconsin. I haven't seen this one. I think they played a USAM there a few years ago where Kelly Kraft won it. But you're a fan of this, how USGA is kind of going these new courses, or you would like to see them stick to the Wingfoots, the Oakmonts, the Pinehursts, the classic golf courses of the United States?
There's a lot of new courses that are great courses, but personally, I'm a kind of traditionalist, you know. I like that. And the courses they're going to a little bit matches kind of what the player is now. Man, they're big, strong dudes out there to hit a long ways. This golf course can play over 8,000 yards long. That's insane.
It's ridiculous.
It is. It's insane to me. It's like 8,000 yards. Are you kidding me?
18th going to be stretched to 675.
Come on.
Five.
675. You got par fours now that are like 550.
Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding? It's like, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that because I like the traditionalist side of it, those shot making and things like that. A little narrower, tighter golf courses. You have to think your way around, and you put these 8,000 yard golf courses out there, and it's just a smash fest. I mean, everybody just ripping it, smashing it as hard as they can. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, they still are amazingly creative in what it is, but, you know, I don't know. I like the Wingfoots and the creative golf courses where you have to do some things.
Mike Schuhart with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, wildernessridgegolf.com. Membership benefits and pricing you need to find out. Great Friday specials with the nine-hole course. The talent course is tremendous. Mike Schuhart back with us. Get your thoughts on Phil. And we are 10 minutes away. Mike Leach will join us on Hale Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN. Or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Wind down the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Mike Schuhart, Shuey is here. Jay Moore is here. And thoughts on Phil's decision to attend graduation, Shuey?
Phil being Phil, man.
Yeah?
You know? Good for him, though. I mean, he's at a different spot in his life.
Yeah.
Where his family is super important. It's always important, but it's certain things that happen in life. And he's in a position, career-wise, that he can do those things, you know? Now, if I have a guy that's been in contention for a U.S. Open a few times, but have never won, now I'd like to see what decision he makes.
Right. Well, then. It's just hard, too, because that's his only, you know, career Grand Slam. That's the only one he doesn't have. And he has, what, 6 second or runner-up finishes at U.S. Opens?
Yeah.
I mean, man.
It's tough.
It's a really hard I mean,
you know, because obviously that's super important to him to win the Grand Slam, because not many people have done it, you know, and it's the one he needs to win. Mm-hmm. So it's like he's not getting any younger either. So it's like as the year goes by, this gets a little harder to do. But, you know, he's pretty confident in himself and what it is. So
maybe he doesn't like the golf course that much, too. You know, it's like, wait. I don't know where it is next year, but.
But next year, he'll win it next year because, you know, it's like...
Karma.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So a guy that's going to be playing a lot more golf, theoretically, is Bob Stoops.
Sounds like it.
What's your take on that?
That was super.
A football coach, a Youngstown guy picking up golf.
How about that?
Or spending more time doing golf.
I want to take my phone and YouTube some of those sessions out there because I would think there's a few... choice words probably being said.
A little intensity.
Maybe a few clubs going whipping in the air. I could see that. Would not surprise me.
Yeah. No, I got you. But what's your advice to somebody that's going to have a golf day? Because if you retire, you gotta get busy. Get busy having fun. And you gotta have a golf day.
It was actually funny because I have a good friend of mine who just retired after years of doing something. He was in the medical field, and he's like, he looked at, I saw him yesterday, and he's like, this retirement thing's pretty good. He says, let me see. My day consists of getting up and figuring out when am I going to play, then when am I going to work out. Mm-hmm. He says, then
when am I going to drink beer?
Pretty much. And if I want to switch that around, then it's like, well, I'll just work out first, and then I go play later, and then I go drink beer.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is pretty fun, actually.
Yeah. You can drink beer first, but probably the gym's not getting there. You can still play golf, but drink beer first, you're probably not getting to the gym.
You're going to subtract.
Unless he's very, very, determined.
You're going to subtract the working out part for start drinking beer at 9 a.m., tee off at noon, keep drinking
beer. A little
morning
cerveza.
And wake up. How'd I get to the gym?
Pretty much. A few of those days.
Talked into it. Shuey, you are awesome, man. What's going on? About 15 seconds here at Wilderness. Some great Friday deals going on, correct?
Yeah, weather's awesome. Mm-hmm. A lot of good golf going on out there. A lot of stuff happening, you know.
Well,
so.
Go see Mike Shuhart. Go see the great folks at Wilderness Ridge, wildernessridgegolf.com, and the membership benefits and pricing. No time like the present. Should we hang out?
I will for a little
Listen to the Pirate?
Always.
All right, Mike Leach next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better
and better!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Hello.
Coach, how we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm on the road. Hopefully I don't have dicey reception, but we can give this a sure, but it may work.
We'll let it ride. Mike Leach with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, Washington State head coach. And, Coach, I was prepared to ask you about how summer's going, but I got to get your reaction to Bob Stoops announcing his retirement.
Well, I just heard 5 minutes ago, and I'm surprised by it.
What surprises you the most? His reasoning, you know, ready to go live life. He's 56. He's put in darn near 20 years. You coached with him, and he hired you. Do you think he just needed a break, and this is a quick reaction, or do you think he's out for good?
Not Bob specifically, but football coaches in general retire very poorly. They're very poor at retiring, and a lot of them take several tries before they actually retire for a while, come back, retire, and some cases get depressed. A few guys have retired well. I always thought Spike Dykes did a great job of retiring. Every time I saw Spike, he was lighter, his hair was darker, and he was and happier. And it's like he and I were going two different directions. And he one day told me about his schedule They had golf day. They had barbecue day. They had poker day. And he is happy as could be. And so I guess hopefully it works out that way for Bob. I mean, and as I'm sitting here kind of trying to imagine what he's going to wake up and do every day, and I can't say that I know exactly what that would be. And you know, hopefully he's got a good plan and goes and has fun with it. The other thing about it is, if he decided to come back sometime, I'm sure he would be able to. Not at OU necessarily, but, you know, back into the game. And but, yeah, I am kind of surprised. The timing's kind of funny, too.
Mike Leach with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, what do you remember about working for Bob and that hiring process? Your offense was phenomenal at Kentucky, and you brought your offense to OU, and the rest is kind of history with what you guys did down there.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun working with him. He's a very down-to-earth guy, very basic, very fundamental. And then, of course, the other thing that was kind of exciting, there were a lot of great coaches there that went on to have really good careers. And just, and I'll be honest with you, we kind of, and I think I speak for a lot of those guys, kind of felt like we're on the ground floor of, you know, a pretty good group of guys that were going to go on to do good things. And but it was a fun staff to be a part of. And you know, I got hired right away at Texas Tech, but you know, and you know, you can't be everywhere at once, but, and as happy as I was to be at Texas Tech, you know, I always sort of wished I had a longer time at OU, you know. I mean, again, I wouldn't trade the opportunity I had to go to Texas Tech, despite the fact that they haven't paid me for 2009, which, you know, in pretty much any third world country that exists, that's you know, that's stealing and that's robbery, because they did win 9 games that year and they haven't won 9 since. So you'd think they ought to pay me my salary that we negotiated, agreed on, shook hands and signed, but they haven't. But nevertheless, there were great people at Texas Tech and we did some great things. And you know, and so but, you know, it was a lot of fun there at Oklahoma. And, and of course, working for Bob was good. You know, it was a good dress rehearsal for me because, you know, Bob had a great defense. At Florida, they had the number one defense in the SEC. At Kentucky, we had the number one offense in the SEC. And so we decided to join forces. And, you know, in hindsight, to watch Bob step in, be first-time head coach, and then I do it, you know, 1 year later, I think it was, you know, a pretty good example for me as I saw kind of, you know, the ups and downs and what you kind of work through, you know.
Mike Leach, few minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio. Reaction to Bob Stoops' retirement at Oklahoma. Well, you had a chance to be at a high-profile program and then get your shot as a head coach and did great at Tech. A kid you really care about that was a student assistant for you, Lincoln Riley, is going to get the reins now. Tell folks a little bit about Lincoln, your relationship, what he was like at Tech, and now what he's stepping into at Oklahoma.
Well, Lincoln was a real smart guy, and when I hired Lincoln, he was the youngest full-time assistant in America. So he started out as a student assistant, then he became a GA, and then I put him on full-time. And even though he was a young guy, he logged a lot of time with me, and so that's kind of what I felt like counted. And, you know, did a good job, great student of the game, a very clear-thinking guy, was a tremendous guy to bounce thoughts off of, thought independently, and you know, and as I have throughout his career, I wish him the best.
I think he's 33 now, and do you expect, not that he will or won't, but a guy that age with that type of program, is he going to need to reach out, or do you think he'll reach out to guys like you, mentors, with this new responsibility?
You know, that's difficult to say. I suspect maybe at times, I always did, and I've always been a you know, heck, I'll reach out to the janitor or a stranger on the street, and hey, what do you think of this? And I'm not saying I always agree, but I want to see the reaction and see if they bring up something I haven't thought of. But I always did. Can't say if he will or not for sure. Wouldn't surprise me. And we're in contact with one another, and certainly anything I can help him with, I'd be happy to do it.
Mike Leach with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, what else have you been up to? Are you doing any camps this time of year? Are you thinking about a little time down in Key West? What's your schedule like?
Our staff's doing a bunch of camps, you know, as many as we can cover. And I, you know, the new camp rule where it's going to be at a school, I think, is a little silly. They ought to open it up like it was before. Summer hasn't really started for me. We'll freshmen will come in here in a week, and this week will be kind of busy. I got a daughter graduate, a son coming home. I got, you know, that stuff. I guess I feel like my summer is going to kick off around June 22nd, but we got the off season going full swing. Some guys, playing hard, working hard, and we got most people back. Actually, we will this year and next year for the most part. So we just got to steadily improve. But there's the phone rings throughout the summer, but I haven't successfully really gotten out of town for any long term yet.
Well, I'm sure you'll have a full slate down at Key West. Wanted to talk to you about quarterbacks, and it seems like, Coach, each year it's that the recruiting process continues to speed up, and you're having to programs in general are having to look at quarterbacks at a younger age, or you're going to have to identify it at an earlier date, maybe a year earlier, especially with the new recruiting and early signing period that's been approved. Want to get your thought on that new signing option in December. And also, when you scout a kid at that quarterback spot, what are some of the traits you're looking for? I mean, what are some of the nuances that you see? You've had a great history of quarterback tutoring.
I always want guys. I want guys that make good decisions and that are accurate. Those are the two first. Never compromise on those. They have to be accurate. They have to make good decisions. And if they can't do that, they can't play. Mm-hmm. And then after that, then you try to get the biggest one, the one with the best feet, the one with the strongest arm, and start adding all that other stuff in there. And with that said, I mean, if you go right through the NFL Hall of Fame, you know, if you consider good decisions, accurate, strong arm, quick feet, fast, none of them have all five of those. But, you know, and then you try to analyze the best you can, who does the best job as far as moving the unit. Because I think the most important role that a quarterback has is elevating the play of the people around him. And so then, even though that's kind of not an exact science, as you're watching film, you try to get a sense of that, you know, how the team responds to them when they're ahead, how they respond when they're behind, and go from there. But we got some good quarterbacks around here, and so just try to get them better as fast as we can.
Mike Leach with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, I heard a story about the slot spot. The code name for that is Elf. Is that correct, or was it that way? And was it in reference to Wes Welker?
No. What we had was we put a guy. What was it? We didn't do it for a long time. Our slot guys are just pretty much inside receivers. We did have a set one time called Elf. and that was to that referenced Eric Morris. And Eric Morris right now is a receiver coach at Texas Tech. Mm. And he played for me. And Eric Morris was even littler than Wes Welker, and we called him the Elf. and I'm trying to think the exact formation. But basically, what was it? I'm trying to think what it was. It was kind of a Dick'em formation, and it was basically in Eric Morris, who again the Elf, who actually occasionally would come through the building, with an elf costume. He kind of embraced his role as being the elf. To this day, I call him the elf. He wants me to call him Coach Morris, but like elf, as far as I'm concerned, he's still the elf. But that's just the way it is. And so he can be Coach Morris on his own time, but he's the elf as far as I'm concerned. And I have the utmost respect for him. He's a smart coach, and he's on my staff for a while. Okay, but it was something like he was in the backfield. We direct snap it to him, and then Michael Crabtree was back there too, where we could throw or hand it to Michael Crabtree. And really it was kind of it wasn't so elaborate as much as it was a deal that, just the matchup and personnel at everybody somewhere where they're not supposed to be and try to ambush them. We messed with it a little bit, didn't do it a bunch, but, it was kind of fun, loosen things up a little bit.
Mike Leach with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Washington State head coach. His thoughts on Bob Stoops' retirement, Lincoln Riley taking over, and the elf formation. Coach, I've always wondered this, and what's your boat? Did you name your boat? Because I know you like to go down to Key West and relax and go fishing a lot. Someday we'll get down there to fish with you. But did you name it?
My what now?
Your boat.
Well, I don't have a boat.
Okay.
I'm not often down there often enough, and so, boats at this point would be kind of high maintenance for me to keep an eye on. But, there's a lot of locals down there that are literally experts on the water.
Yeah.
That are virtual experts on the water. And I've had the opportunity to fish with some great people, just incredible people. Like, for example, T.J. Ott, who fishes on Wicked Tuna. I've had the chance to fish with him before. Part of it, there's so many experts of fishing down there. I got a guy I got a little bitty plunge pool, and so he's owns a pool company or whatever. He's a great fisherman. There's a guy that's a VP at a bank down there that's as good a waterman as I've ever seen. And so I've got some literal experts that I'm lucky enough to have the chance to go with to show me around, take me around, and go fishing. I've got great reference points, great people to learn from, and so I guess I'm still learning. And if I'm never down there full time, I'll probably get a boat.
Coach, got to ask you before we say goodbye: best Father's Day gift and worst Father's Day gift you've gotten.
That I've gotten?
Yeah.
Well, the worst, of course, would be a tie or something, and I'm sure I've gotten a tie for Father's Day. And besides the fact it's insanely cliche, it's something I really don't have a genuine interest in wearing. And despite the fact that I sometimes have to, it's just regimented, forced uniform item to the point where instead of appreciate it, I kind of resent it. Let's see, the best Father's Day gift. Something your kids like make or create, like if they put a bunch of thought to it, and especially when they're younger, they're doing a thing where they're covering their mouth and peeking around the corner, and you can kind of see them trying to organize it. It's so clever, they put a lot of thought behind. I mean, that's really meaningful. That means a lot. I wish I could tell you what you're celebrating as Father's Day. Than we are, but let me think here. Father's Day gift. I can't even really remember what I got all the time. Yeah, I guess that kind of covers it. I might have gotten something cool, like maybe a gun or a trip or something. I don't know.
Coach, thanks for spending a few minutes with us on Coach Stoops and Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. It's always great to be on. Always good to hear from you guys.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Big thanks to the Pirate, Mike Leach. His thoughts on Lincoln Riley taking over the reins in Oklahoma. He was raised as a pup by Coach Leach. And, of course, Bob Stoops, dear friend of Coach Leach's, hired him from Kentucky, and they spent a year in OU together. before Leach left for Texas Tech. He's still a little PO'd that he hasn't been paid by Tech. If you missed that interview, we invite you to log on hailvarsity.com or go to iTunes or hit the ESPN 1480 app and get caught up with the Pirate, Mike Leach. Jay Moore is here, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and thanks to Coach Leach for spending time on the news of the day. And also got into some quarterback tutoring, and his favorite Father's Day gift was a gun he got, or a trip they sent him on. Pirate's my favorite. Good dude. All right, let's talk recruiting. And right now, Nebraska is in the midst of their satellite camps. They are getting offers sent out there. There's a couple of one offer extended to a really talented 2019 kid from Burke. An offer extended not long ago to a kid out of Council Bluffs, a quarterback.
Burke's got a couple good kids. He has one of them has an offer from Ole Miss.
A tight end.
I saw them yesterday at the locker room camp up in Omaha.
Yeah, tell me about that. That's where I wanted to go with you is the recruiting side, but the camps that you're getting to see.
Yeah, well, it was just Ideal Image is a company I work for in the locker room. They sponsored a camp up there, which is a way for high schools to be able to almost have their own spring ball. The kids obviously have to pay for it.
It's more reps,
you get some practices before, then they kind of all get together at the end. They call the Jamborees at Bellevue West, and you get a couple scrimmages in there against, you know, Omaha North went against Bell West for a rematch of the state title last year. That was one of the early games. You know, Burke was there, Omaha South, Central. So all that, I mean, Burke's best two players, the guys that hold D1 offers, they held them out, rightfully so. Didn't want to get hurt, but it's just a good way for guys get more reps. It's a spring ball. It's what it is. But it's good for them to kind of come up with a way how we can get some more reps, get some guys, you know, try to improve. So it was fun to see. There was a lot of people out there, and it was fun to partake and see some good Nebraska high school talent. I mean, Omaha North's loaded again.
Mm-hmm. No, they're tremendous. Really good programs in the metro. Obviously, local programs here. Lincoln East loaded up. Mm-hmm. Coach Waller at North Star. Lincoln High has been good. Southeast to Southeast. Very talented, really, and Pius does what they need to do. They're really talented. Northeast has athletes. So, I mean, good Lincoln group, and you got to see a lot of the talent in Omaha. What you're seeing now is a lot of buildup as you have some of the higher-profile targets for Nebraska, and I'm thinking of Joshua Moore, big-time wideout. It's down to Nebraska. It's down to A&M. It's down to Florida State. So Nebraska's made the cut. His brother is a safety that's committed to A&M, and Josh is the talent that left IMG to go back to Yoakum, Texas. That's kind of a focus. Nebraska also searching for a 2019 quarterback. Jay, I wanted to get your thoughts here on the hype that surrounds kids right now in this 18-month window before signing day, or 12-month window or 6-month window between signing day. That hype that's there, getting them to say yes and then commit with the pen on paper. But also now what's happening, kids leaving home for the first time, getting the dorm room, getting their roommate, and some of the dorms they have in Nebraska now are just freaking sweet.
Yeah. What?
I mean, it's
did not have that.
It's Fresh Prince of Bel Air good.
10th Hall of Harper.
Right.
10th floor of Harper now is there.
It's Fresh Prince of Bel Air suite dorm, or if you want to go 80s back to school suite that the dorm Dangerfield put together with the hot tub. Kids going to campus now and the hype around them. Now they have to kind of come in and through summer workouts and even before fall camp starts, it's kind of prove it now. Check it at the door. But it's been a, for lack of a better term, kind of a romance that's gone on up until they finally get to that dorm room, correct?
Correct.
Is the hype going to hurt or help?
It can.
And it varies, I understand.
Think more, I think it hurts them. Because you know who's coming in. You know who's the touted, who's supposed to be big time. And a lot of times you're just like, he was supposed to be a good get. You know, you're like, he's soft. He's looks like he's out of shape. He's missing times. He's, you know, this is supposed to be the man. This is supposed to be the guy. So players pay attention. I mean, you know who's the who's the five star, who's the four star, who's that really important? Because you were, you know, you're helping guys out with, you know, when they're on their official visits, you're hosting them. You hear who's in, who's, you know, you're getting introduced to them all the time, especially home game weekends when you're all these recruits are in. So you know who's big time. And then when you kind of get there, but that's why I always say on this show, you don't, it's such a drastic change for these kids too. Cause like you said, you're away from home for the first time. You're in a whole new surrounding, all new city. You're trying to navigate Lincoln, Nebraska. Even though it doesn't sound that difficult, but it is a pain in the ass to drive in this town. you know, it's a whole new challenge, and it can be a lot for kids, and it can be a lot for kids to kind of break out of their shell and be that kid who they were comfortable with just a few months ago back home in Dallas, Texas, or in Los Angeles, wherever it may be. But that hype it can hurt them, because I can tell you numerous times of guys who've come in, you're like, what? You know, and there's some guys that came in that backed it up. Maurice Purify was one of them. You're like, holy smokes, this dude is legit. You know, he was a JUCO kid, but you're like, this guy's playing day one. But you see some guys like, yeah, he needs a year or two to get ready. You know, he's just needs to gain a little weight. He needs, some kids come with a little baby fat on them. He needs to, you know, shed that, get a little tougher. But without a doubt, college kids know. College kids know, and they want to prove a point to them too. You know, like, hey, you're not coming in here and swiping my job. You know, we've heard a lot about you. Welcome, do everything I can to help you, but you're gonna have to compete, homeboy. You know, you're gonna have to, you know, earn your stripes. Nothing's given here. But that's good. That's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be, and it just varies on how kids deal with that. If they've come in as the best player in their school, maybe even their state or their region, and then having to raise their level of competition. I mean, it doesn't sound that foreign, but it's hard for some kids to adapt to that because they've really never been challenged before. They've mm-hmm. never been criticized before. They've never been critiqued right. before.
And a lot of times you're the best player of your high school team and you can never do anything wrong. You know, the coach will sometimes show favoritism, you know. You just kind of
can't have them transfer.
Right, exactly. You got to make them happy. And all of a sudden, that's not the situation. So there's a lot. That's why fans get frustrated, I know, because this kid had all this stuff written up about him, was supposed to be this, next coming of this, Amon Green, whoever it may be. And it just doesn't happen. It's hard, man. It's hard. I mean, it was hard for me coming 40 miles, 45 miles south from Elkhorn. It was hard.
You strike me as a guy that had a ton of confidence. You've been through a ton of adversity when it came to your knee,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because you had to, you were still good at Nebraska as far as a scholarship offer goes, but you're an in-state kid that got a scholarship, and you came from a monster program, so there was a lot of clout behind the offer because of how good Elkhorn
sure.
was and is. But you had to jack with a knee injury.
Right. So I mean, I tore my ACL and MCL my senior year, but I was also learning a new position. I mean, I'm learning a defensive end position, put my hand there, which I never did before. I mean, it took me time to do but it was rough.
But
it
you always kind of came in, you're let your action speak.
Right.
Me. That's what it came
that's
with.
What I mean. I just showed up and tried to do my best as possible,
sure.
and whatever happens after that happens. You know, it's all I was able to control what I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was always focused on. But it's just different, though. I mean, there was times.
Did you doubt yourself?
Never. Well, it's just a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work.
On top of the school side.
I can't remember who I was talking to, but, you know, my freshman year coming in, that was the last year where there was no practice restrictions. I mean, you could do 2 days every day. And I distinctly remember about getting through that first week, and when you layer, because, you know, in high school, you had 2 days, and you're out there but you never had meetings. You went to practice, you went home. You went to practice again, you went home. You never had meetings. You know, you go to practice, you're getting wake-up calls at 6 a.m., go to practice, you're getting lunch, you're getting treatment, and then you go to meetings before the second practice, and you're there till 9 p.m., and then you literally lay your head on a pillow, and someone's knocking on your door. It literally felt like you shut your eyes for 2 seconds, and you're waking up, and your body's sore because you're going through the most physical practice you've ever been before, and you are seriously second guessing yourself. You're like, I don't know. I told people this. I go, I don't know if I can do this. It went through my head numerous times. I don't know if I can handle this, but you just did. You don't. You know, you're just you just, that's what you did. But there's always, I mean, everyone goes through that. Now you don't have 2 days anymore, and then the very next year is when they instituted the new rules where you had to practice for 5 days in a row. Then if you had a two a day, you only had could have a one a day next. So that training camp was cake after that. But yeah, without a doubt, my freshman year, I'm like it was an eye opener to me. It was without a doubt. But that's what all these kids are going through. It's all eye opening experiences. They're gonna work harder than they've ever worked before. They're gonna work out harder. They're gonna practice harder. Time is going to be stretched even more than before, and it's all new. And it's guys who, I guarantee a lot of them are going to second guess this at times and be like, holy smokes, what did I get myself into?
How fair is it? Because there's an expectation of some of these guys coming in to be, and I think back to some names. I think back to the hype I heard, and this was when I was like in junior high, about a kid named Tommy Frazier. Mm-hmm. And dude delivered. Mm-hmm. Was freaking great. Tyron Williams was great. Mm-hmm. Fabian Washington. Mm-hmm. You heard about this kid out of Florida, another corner, a freshman. You're like, yeah, whatever. No one ever plays here as a freshman.
Pick six first game.
Right. Great. Mm-hmm. And then you hear about Lamar, and Lamar had to transition, had to change positions, mm-hmm. to be fair to him. Mm-hmm. But then you have guys that, I know 2018 is still a bit of ways away, but you got guys like Buki that's supposed to come in here. You have potentially some other big-time gets. You have Blades that's coming in. I mean, you have all these guys that are monster athletes.
Yeah. And I'll say a guy for like Buki, being at like IMG Academy, that's going to prepare more for college football than ever, because let's be honest, you go to those academies and your focus is football. I think you only go to school like 4 hours out of the day. I mean, it's all football. So that's going to, honestly, that type of time commitment that they go there.
He'll be prepped.
Oh, for sure.
And that's why there's more of a shift. Mm-hmm. Go get the IMG kids. Go get the football academy kids. Caller four.
Caller four for tomorrow, Salt Dogs. Caller five for Friday, Salt Dogs.
Okay, so caller four, caller five for Salt Dogs. Tickets, get the particulars from TJ. Are they VIP?
They are.
VIP. Caller four, caller five right now, 466-3776, 466-3776.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis with us. Dr. Doug, thank you so much for another wonderful Lincoln Orthopedic Open last week. It was so much fun to see you. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing better today than my golf game did on Friday, I can say that.
Well,
but I guess that doesn't matter, because the Friendship Home had another nice contribution, mm-hmm. from a whole bunch of people that care about battered women and children. It was really a neat event.
Wonderful cause, and kind of you to put it on yet again, Dr. Doug. NBA Finals going on. Big game tonight, Game 3. Steve Kerr was able to come back and be a factor, and he's very, very calming with this Warriors team. Dr. Doug, let's spend some time on, we know he had back surgery, and we know he was out, and I know you don't do back surgeries per se, but you're smart, you're a doctor. Let's kind of dive into what Kerr's been dealing with and your expertise with just how he's overcome it.
Well, the guy's got incredible willpower. What he's dealing with is a situation where he had a surgery done a couple of years ago. And as a result of that surgery, he had a cerebral spinal fluid leak. And so what that means is the fluid that surrounds the brain and the spinal cord, that fluid is like a support structure, or almost a cushion, for the spinal cord and the brain. And when you have a leak of fluid from that system, where that fluid is flowing from the spinal cord up around the brain and then back and around, that it's almost like a circulatory system for the brain, if you want to say it that way. But when we have a leak with that, You can get into a situation where people get incredible headaches and back pain associated with that. And it's described by people as being one of the worst pains that there is. And for him to be back, is really a testament just to his willpower, I think, as much as anything.
Dr. Doug Tavis, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Steve Kerr and the fact he is back on the bench for Golden State, despite what he has kind of battled through with the spinal leakage and the headaches. Dr. Doug, how can something like this happen accidentally during surgery? What's your theory on things with what's supposed to be normal turning into really a long road back?
Sure. The reality of it is that with any surgery, there are risks of these kinds of things happening. Now, this one's unique, of course, to spinal surgery or unique to a spinal trauma, but the incidence is low. It's about, it's less than 1% chance that this would occur. And so, it's a low number relative to, even things like, blood clots and so forth after surgery. So it's one of those issues that we worry about. We tell people, that these are potential problems. But when a cerebral spinal fluid leak occurs during a surgery, it's found right at the time of surgery, and then it can be repaired. And that's the vast majority of the time with these things. Sometimes what is done is that you can take some blood and use it as it clots to patch over the leak, and they call that a blood patch. So if somebody happened to be saying, "Oh wow, I hear, I know about this cerebral spinal fluid leak," they're looking on the internet, they may see that word blood patch. That's a situation where we literally use a clotted bit of blood to close over that spot. And so it's there's several things that can be done initially when these are discovered, but for a very, very, very few people, this gets to be a long-term chronic problem, and Steve Kerr, unfortunately, is one of them.
How dicey and delicate is it to deal with or recognize that there's that spinal cord fluid leak? I mean, with what it can cause, and I mean, it kind of makes me cringe to think about or even talk about because of how difficult that region of your body is.
Sure, it's a very delicate place.
Yeah, it's very delicate, and it can make you really, really sick after the fact.
Sure. The the spine surgeons, both the orthopedic spine surgeons and the neurosurgeons, are really quite expert at dealing with that when they're able to find it acutely or right at the time of the procedure. It's a little bit like a flimsy membrane is what the dura would be. It would be almost like a balloon that's been all stretched out. How flimsy that is. Well, imagine trying to sew that type of material together. That's what we're dealing with. You're trying to take really, really thin and flimsy material and sew it together and get that to heal. Once it's in a situation where it's a chronic leak, like this situation with Steve Kerr, then one of the ways that they try and deal with it is not to repair the leak, because it's been ongoing for such a long period of time that it is unlikely that by sewing it back together you're going to get the leak to stop. Instead, what happens sometimes is they reposition the fluid, or they shunt the fluid from one place to another in order to try and reestablish a flow of the fluid so it doesn't, A, collect in a bad place, and B, not provide the support that the brain needs. And so the procedure called a cerebral spinal fluid shunt is performed. So it's a very delicate, very dicey kind of a scenario, but one that thankfully doesn't come up too terribly often.
Dr. Doug, about 60 seconds here. Do you think Steve Kerr's out of the woods here? Do you think there'll be some recurring issues, or do you think he can look forward to better health moving forward?
Well, I think one of the things for him that is going to be necessary, last year, I think it was, or maybe it was the year before even, that he was out for about half the year and then came back. And I think if he's going to get better, it's going to be because he is able to just shut it down for a very extended period of time. I worry about the kind of I'm out, I'm in, you know, kind of a situation for this, because there isn't a great answer, and the best, scenario for him would be if his body can heal things up itself.
Dr. Doug Tavis, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jonk Doc Wednesday. Dr. Doug, we'll catch up again. Thank you.
You bet. Take care, Chris.
Good insight on Steve Kerr there, and World of Outlaw tickets right now, a pair for you, caller 4-466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, caller 4, now.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, TJ Henning, Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Pure grown diamonds, one reason. Expertise, the other. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure grown diamonds. They're grown in the lab. They are eco-friendly. They are 10 to 40% less than earth mined diamonds. Jay Moore's thinking about diamonds right now.
I'm thinking about dinner. I'm hungry.
Well, you're hungry, but you'll stop by and take care of mama first.
Yes, always.
12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Route West, and Grand Island is where you can find Sauter Heyman. Some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Those pure-grown diamonds, go see why. Go see why they're so beautiful with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today. Okay, Fan Fest going on here, Bird. You have... them coinciding with the Friday Night Lights. Mm-hmm.
The first two,
yep. 5 to 7 at Stadium. Why not? Not that folks wouldn't show up anyway, yeah, but just built in.
They'll get a good turnout.
Built in turnout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you'll be pretty impressive.
Pretty jacked to hear that you were able to see some of the camps and that you guys are doing some of those.
Yeah, it would. It's just the one. You know, they do it every year. We're just trying to grow it now. Mm-hmm. We'd like to get, you know, Lincoln schools involved, and, you know, it's mainly out of the metro. Mm-hmm. Try to get more Millard schools involved. I mean, you can make this really big to where, you expand it. You're rotating high schools that host it every year. And it's a good way for football programs to make money. You know, the kids pay $40, but, once the trainers are, paid for and the necessary things are taken care of, the referees are taken care of, that money goes back to the football program. So, it's a good deal for high school programs, and we just need to keep it growing and making it bigger so, you know, more teams get more reps and, compete and play better football in the fall.
Tomorrow on the show, we will run down Uncle Jerry. Jerry DiNardo will be with us. Brandon Vogel will be with us. We'll either have Dean Blevins or Barry Switzer, one of the two. We really appreciate Mike Leach spending time, taking time to start off hour number two with us. Always great to talk to the Pirate. If you missed that, can log on HailVarsity.com. Good stuff from 10-year NBA vet, played against Jordan, played in the postseason, knows the teams well in this NBA Finals, knows T. Lou well because he was his teammate, Eric Strickland, Husker Hall of Famer, with us in hour one. And, of course, Mike Shewhart was with us, the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Father's Day around the corner. Giveaway for the smoker is Friday. The first time we give you a smoker, the next time we give you a smoker, a week from Friday, can qualify Gregeth and Smith, can qualify here on Hail Varsity, and we'll do that giveaway on Friday.
Hey, can one of your weathermen come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking!
I'm jealous because I don't have a smoker. Period. I'm going to whine about that till we get out of this freaking apartment.
That's your gift to yourself. You move into the new digs there.
Uh-huh. That's right. Kind of like the getting the smoker and grill as a gift to myself for Father's Day. Take Leach's advice. Ties or guns? That's what he wants for Father's Day. No tie. Give him the gun or a trip. Caller 9 now for that smoker. Bert, it was great to
Absolutely,
see you, brother.
Boys.
Appreciate it. TJ, thank you. Caller 9 now for that smoker.